What's going on, Fear fans? We have a full panel tonight. We are here to review the latest episode of Fear the Walking Dead, Season 5, Episode 10, 210 words per minute. Dwight has an altercation on the road and proves that he really has changed. Morgan and Grace's relationship is continuing to blossom, or so we thought. We've got some special segments coming up at the end of the episode, so stay tuned. Don't move a muscle.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
What's going on, Walking Dead fans?
What's up, guys?
Well, look at my beautiful panel has returned.
We're here.
I mean, Ben asked you last week. We're reunited. These two ladies, we missed you guys.
We missed y'all.
Oh, I love you guys. Okay, so we've got Krista Belenji here next to me.
Hi, guys.
I've got April Wissenhant over there.
Hey, y'all.
And Benny Adams.
What's up, guys?
My returning brother. Thank you so much for all for being here. First off, how are you guys?
Good.
We're good.
Yeah? Ready to talk fear.
I know, guys. We've got a lot to talk about. We're going to talk about Dwight tonight. We're going to talk about Morgan and Grace, which I'm very excited about. We've also got our special segments, everybody. We've got our favorite kill segment of the episode, plus our How Not to Survive a Zombie Apocalypse, which we pick out a moment in the episode where we're like, why would you do that? Oh, first off, overall thoughts on the episode.
I thought it was great. It was a good, energy boost after the week prior, let's say. But I liked that. Normally, I don't like when they just focus on a couple of characters, but it actually moved the story forward in a good way for the characters that it did show. So I appreciated that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this episode was way better than the previous episode, and I really like how the writers are really trying to get us emotionally attached to these characters, and they're doing such a great job. So I liked it.
Yeah, I liked learning more about Grace, and I like seeing her and Morgan's relationship blossom, shall we say?
Agreed. Yeah. Yes. Agreed. I actually like this episode too. April, you're going to be very pleased to hear this. I think that this episode was a turning point for me for Morgan's character. I really enjoyed his character this episode, and I think that I'm starting to actually like him. And that just goes back to what, Benny, you were saying about the writers making us love these characters, because if you can make me love Morgan, you're doing a really good job. He gets on my nerves. But yes, I'm very excited to see where their relationship goes. Yeah. I'm excited to talk about it with you guys. So first off, and everybody in the chat who's watching, listening, interact with us on the chat. Give us a comment. We've got April there on the chat.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll shout you guys out. We don't know. Maybe. Keep you guys in suspense. Exactly. So let's start off the episode. So we get a call from Chuck, because as we saw last episode, people are starting to reach out to our group after they saw the plane. Chuck is pretty much stuck in a mall. He needs some help because he's gotten bit. And he's changing quite rapidly, but he at least wants them to get to him and then bury him under the stars, which I thought was really nice. And that'll tie back into the end of the episode, which I really would like to talk about. So pretty much Dwight, Morgan, and Grace arrive at this mall, and they pretty much break themselves in. Now, here's my first question to you all. Is it weird that nobody else has found this place before them?
So yes. Weird. I also, that's why I wish we got more out of him, so we could have known, like, well, how'd you get here and were there others with you? Because it's just, like, untouched. Besides all the walkers, but how long have they been in there since the, we don't know.
The place was fully stacked with, like, everything you can think of. So
like,
it
the
was
clinic
just,
was still locked?
Right.
Yeah.
That would be the first place I would go to, but then maybe people aren't going there because all those walkers are there, so.
Yeah.
And they think maybe other people are in there, like, oh, who wouldn't go in there, so no one else is
but
going
But it's also
there.
Like, a mall has so many exit doors, and it's just like, you could go in, check it out, quick run out of different.
Yeah.
I don't know. That now, if there is a zombie apocalypse, I'm going to check out a mall, is what I've decided.
Well, it brought me back to that movie, that zombie movie. I think it's Dawn of the Dead.
It was definitely a ploy on that movie.
I did really enjoy it because of that whole Dawn of the Dead. Oh, scary, you guys. If you haven't seen the movie Dawn of the Dead, it's actually pretty good. It's got Mekhi Pfeiffer in it. It's got a lot of people in it. I really like it. The guy from, Modern Family, the guy who plays the dad.
Ty
Burrell. Thank you so much. Our wonderful engineer, Ryan. So if you haven't checked it out, check it out. But we're here to talk about Fear the Walking Dead. But yeah, it definitely gave me those vibes, which I really enjoyed because it brings me back to, you know, just the start of the zombie apocalypse, like you were saying, Krista. And, you know, where would you go? And clearly these people went to a mall and it clearly didn't work out for them.
Right.
But it always just makes me think, like, how did you guys all turn? Why are you guys in the mall? Who started it? Like, it always wants me to go. It makes me want to go back and see how this happened.
Yeah. And there weren't that many walkers, though.
As like, there could have been,
So maybe we're a little jaded at this point because we've seen them go into so many situations where it's just like, how can you possibly make it out of this? Mm-hmm. In both shows, in The Walking Dead and Fear of the Walking Dead. So I'm kind of like, why did no one go there before? Yeah. I mean, people were in there. It wasn't just him, because they had the whole thing boarded up from the inside. Yeah. So maybe, you know, they could have been there, and then we could have had like a jail situation where, you know, something broke out or whatever. But at first I was just like, why are you going there to help somebody who's already dying? Maybe that's the savage in me, but I guess
he's already dead.
April comes back with a vengeance, everybody.
I'm like, why are you going to help this man? But I guess because of what he said, it started to make sense as I listened. I'm like, of course, you know, he's sitting there saying, it's an urgent care, it's this, 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 but there also is the part of me that's like, what if it went wrong?
Yeah.
And maybe I'm just waiting, kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop, like, just waiting for the person to trick them in this whole situation. Sorry, not to get off on something random, but that's what I kept thinking with him, so I'm glad, obviously, it turned out to be a situation where everything was fully stocked, and it is kind of a good place for them to be right now.
Well, we know April's not going to go back and help somebody who's already dying, but pretty much the motifs for the episode was, we're being right, we're not being careful.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, I can understand why they went back. Benny and Krista, I want to know if you guys would have went back.
I think I would have, because in his distress call, he was like, I was listening to what you were saying about helping others. I'm in this fully stocked place. Mm-hmm. And if that's true, they have all of these new people now, and not, they're like leaving them at random truck stops because they can't house them all in one place. So hearing that, I'd be like, it might be worth checking out. Yeah. Let's get everyone in one spot together.
Agreed. Totally.
Not to save him, but for the things that could come out of it.
So we're on the same page then.
Like, if he was just in a shack somewhere, I'd be like, I don't know if I've got the time. Right. But, yeah, I get what you're... Yes.
We're not going for him. We're going for the supplies. And this is just a happy coincidence, because we can also help you out and help you see the stars.
Yeah. A better person, a.k.a. Morgan, would do it just because.
Yes.
All right, if I was in Morgan's group and I had made this pledge to help people, I would do it.
Yeah.
I'm a strong believer in karma, and I would feel like if I didn't help this guy, something bad is gonna happen to me. So I would do it, and then plus we would get stuff out of it.
Yeah.
As long as I was with people. I wouldn't go by myself. As long as I was with people to fight off the walkers, then
Here's my thing. I feel like they should have put more of an emphasis on that they went back for the supplies, because as nice as it is that you're going back to give somebody their dying wish, we have already talked about how we're running low on gas, and even though you have these gas fields, these oil fields, and you have plenty of supply of gas, it's still going to run out at some point, so why waste it on just giving somebody, like I said, their dying wish? So I wish they had made more of an emphasis on, we're going to this mall to get all these supplies and see what this guy has got, but also to help him in the process, like you said, Krista.
Because they really, actually, now that you say that, they kind of didn't at all.
They made it seem like it was for him. This.
Yeah.
Like, they get there, and they're kind of, like, looking around, like, okay, this could work. It's a lot of inferring. Mm-hmm. I mean, we know, like, what they're there for and what they need to, or I guess technically only what they need to be there for, but, like, they don't actually say, okay, this could also be a good place for these however many people they have with him at this point.
Yeah. So they find the office that he said that he was going to be in, and he's left an iPod for Grace, which he's already on my good side, because I'm like, you're going to get me stocked up and supplies. I'm with you. We start off the beginning of the episode with Grace, and she has really low blood sugar, going back to the fact that she might or may not have radiation poisoning, which is another theme throughout the episode. And she winds up passing out, obviously, at a most inopportune time. They wake her up, and they decide that Dwight has to go back to the other group for help, or to grab everybody so that they could be once again reunited. And Dwight and Morgan and Grace are going to stay. Did you agree with that initial thought, that Dwight should go and then two should stay? Keeping in mind that they have walkies and they could easily just be like, hey guys, this is where we are, come.
I don't know. I mean, I guess there's no perfect scenario, because either way, somebody's going to be left alone.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, one person's not going to be in a good situation. Obviously, they had to do it in the way that they did just because of the storyline of this episode.
Yeah.
But I also think that, you know, Morgan being there with Grace was going to be a lot more comforting than Dwight being there with her.
Mm-hmm.
But and I'm just full savage tonight, y'all. I'm sorry, but, like, the only thing is, I'm like, she passed out. Like, not a big deal.
Yeah.
I mean, because other people, a lot worse has happened to them, and they're like,
Lucy got a damn spear through her arm.
And they were like, bring her away.
And she's like, I passed is that?
It's because Morgan is in love.
Yeah.
He's in love.
Pretty much.
Or he's on his way, but...
Right. Yeah. And if I was in that situation, I would just have all three of us go.
Yeah.
Because it's pointless for two to go and leave one behind.
Right.
That one person's not going to be able to do anything.
Yeah.
We saw what happened to the other guy who left, you know? So just have everyone go.
Yeah.
Get everyone to come back, and you have more people in the mall to help... This
clear
guy.
Out the,
yeah.
to clear out the... But they did have... Time was a factor in Chuck's storyline.
Yeah.
So I can see why they didn't do that.
True.
But at the same time, nobody's found this place before you guys have gotten there. I think if you're going to be gone for a couple of hours, I don't think anybody's going to find it in the interim.
And that's what Grace was saying, too. She was like... I love that she was like, I'm staying. I don't feel good, so I'm going to lay right here in this new bed. Like, she didn't even leave it as an option. It wasn't like, oh, no, guys, don't go with me. She was like, that would be great. I'm going to chill here. See y'all later.
Yeah.
But Grace has always been like that. She's always like, you can go if you want to, but I'm staying. I'm doing whatever I want.
Also,
which I like about her.
She's fended for herself for however long, and she was doing it just fine. So she's probably like, okay, boys.
Settle
down now.
Yeah, and then on the other side, I mean, Dwight and Morgan have pretty much crossed the entire country on foot.
Yeah, they're all good.
And they're fine.
They can all handle it. A solo mission is not their worst...
Not at all.
Worst case scenario, no.
What I did like was that Dwight questioned Morgan outside of the mall, and, you know, Dwight pretty much brings up his past, which I always love when they do that, because why have a crossover character if you're not going to reference where they cross over from?
Mm-hmm.
And he says, you know, I've taken things from what other people needed before, and he was always on the wrong side of things, and he was with people who were on the wrong side of things, and he asks... Morgan, why didn't they just leave the gas for Logan, or at least leave some gas for Logan? Because now they have to go, they have to spend their lives looking over their shoulders.
Yeah.
And at the same time, if Logan does catch up to them, what's going to happen? And I think it was a fair question because Dwight knows that Morgan isn't like this cold-blooded killer. Like, if they have an altercation or a confrontation, what are you going to do, Morgan? Mm-hmm. You're not going to kill them because that's not your style.
Yeah.
And then Morgan, I thought, gave a BS answer. And he said, we're just going to redirect them. What did you guys think of that moment?
I thought it was so dumb. I was like, only because how Dwight worded it, it made the most sense of anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, you're doing this because you say, you took the gas because we're helping all of these people.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, or we say, that all of these people need it more than he did, than Logan did in his group. But that's not what they think. So ultimately, you're totally screwing someone else over in order to help these people that you think need it more.
Right.
So it's like, the minds aren't always going to meet in that place.
Mm-hmm.
So people are going to be pissed. They're not just going to be like, oh, they took our gas and everything we have to survive off of. Let's just give it up. So at some point, it does come to a head. And Morgan being like, we'll redirect. I have faith in people. I'm like, how are you going to redirect?
Also, have you met Logan? And that's not going to work with him.
No.
He's not going to redirect.
Yeah.
And how would you, what would you say? I'm so sorry.
I don't know. Yeah. There's this fun mall. You want to check that out?
There's a merry-go-round.
They have a clinic. I don't know.
I guess maybe that is what you'd say. We have this to offer instead. Sorry about your feet.
Even if he did give him some gas, I don't think that would be the end of it. I think he wants all of it.
Yeah.
And so that's the problem.
Maybe at first, if they had negotiated, he would have been like a little more to like keep a few of your little truck stops. But now he's like taking everything.
And then they screwed him over by kicking him off the truck, making him walk on foot.
Yeah.
So now he's even more pissed off.
Yeah.
No, that's a good point, Krista. I feel like if they had negotiated at that point, because he came to them, remember, he was like, I need your help.
They wouldn't have even known. Yeah.
Exactly. And also, they kind of helped him out because his people, he didn't want his people to know where the gas field, he keeps saying gas fields. I know it's an oil field. I know it is. I know that there's no such thing as a gas field. I got it. He didn't want his people to know where they were either. So if they were to help him, then they could have negotiated, like, we'll give you half or even a quarter of the gas to survive of what you're doing, because what you're doing is selfish. What we're doing is trying to help people. So let's negotiate here. Or even say, hey, if we give you half of the gas, give us half of the ammo. Something like that.
Right.
Do something.
Right.
Yeah. Don't just take it, because that's like... And that's why I like that Dwight was the one to come to him with it, because he came from the other side. He was Logan. And now he's like, I have that perspective still, and I understand what he's thinking, and it's not good.
And I didn't like how Morgan brushed him off. I mean, I thought it was... especially Morgan, because Morgan knows where Dwight has come from.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you were on the other side of it. You've seen this guy in action. You've seen everything.
Yeah.
So to brush him off, I thought was mad. And I'm not mad that I'm not mad that they took all the gas mostly. I'm mostly mad at the response from Morgan and being like, we're just redirect.
It's just not realistic. That's the thing. You can't expect everyone to adopt the theory of, okay, we're not going to fight, we're not going to kill anybody, because it's just not actually protecting your group.
Right.
And there's a lot more of them now to protect, plus kids.
Right. Yeah. So bringing all of these people on and then kind of doing a thing that you know is going to screw somebody and anger them for the long period of time, it just doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm. In the protection aspect. Morgan is getting a little too comfortable in the leadership role, mm-hmm. and he's starting to make rules that can come off as a little dangerous to the other group.
Yeah. Rick was there.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen leaders make decisions before that puts that we think is going to put the group in danger. I think you're right. I think this is going down that road.
Yeah.
April, anybody in the chat?
Yes. Ace in chat says Morgan wasn't thinking straight at the time, he was in puppy love.
Oh.
Nice excuse, but I don't know. Earline Hall said, he also said that the place he was staying had everything he needed and had everything they needed. Oh, okay, including clinic. Talking about the other guy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's true. I think Morgan is thinking, though. I just think that he's on, like, the positivity train.
Yeah.
Which is great, but, like, it just doesn't make sense.
Right.
PKMNDJK? That's all.
Nice.
Morgan should listen to Dwight. He has more experience with groups like Logan's or the Saviors.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's what I think.
That's smart.
Morgan has a pretty good amount of experience, though, when we're thinking of stuff like this, but Dwight definitely has the kind of group mentality.
Yeah. I agree. We love hearing your guys' thoughts. Keep them up, guys.
Yes.
I want to get into the Dwight storyline to kind of knock that out before we get into the Grace and Morgan storyline. So Dwight pretty much gives out his location on purpose over the walkie because they have a plan. They're going to, you know, reroute the bad guys and have them follow Dwight while, you know, everybody else kind of gets their way to the mall, sorry. Mm-hmm. And he stops to pee. And, of course, someone comes up behind him with a gun, mm-hmm. takes him hostage, and then ties him up. Now, we never know this guy's name.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody IMDb'd it. If you did, let us know. But, yeah, so he's, like, this mysterious character. He's just a random character that Fear of the Walking Dead uses to kind of show us this difference in Dwight. Now, before we get there, Dwight has this, I guess, ultimatum of telling this guy where his group is, mm-hmm. or he's going to burn the letters from Sherry. Now, I didn't think that they were actually going to go this route. I was like, because Dwight's sitting there going, I don't care what you do to me. And I'm like, he's right. He's got a burn on his face and iron. Like, he's been through a lot.
Yeah.
I didn't think that they were going to take the burning of the letters route, and I thought it was pretty clever. What'd you guys think?
Well, either did Dwight, because he forgot that they made these tapes and people are watching them, you know? So when that came out, he was like, oh, I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, not my letters. Do what you must to me. Yeah. Which I get it. It's super sentimental for him, and his whole journey's been based on finding his girl. But I was just like, you know, you got to cover all your bases. That you're carrying the letters on you. That's a risk. It's just,
And dude was so confident before that. He was like, I got this in the bag. I've tricked them. Like, they have no idea what's coming.
Rip off my fingernails.
Right, exactly. Then they pull out the letters, and he's like, oh, crap, now what? You know, and those letters are, that's the only thing he has left of her right now.
Yeah.
Because say, like, she does die. He has nothing left but those letters.
Yeah. But the guy also makes a very ominous threat, if you will. He says, you know, maybe I'll find her.
I know.
Granted, Dwight has been looking for his own wife for like over a year.
What makes you think you can find her?
Right. But at the same time, I'm sure that struck a chord with him in saying, you know, that's not a good thing.
Yeah. Right. Even without the letters, him just saying that probably would have been enough for Dwight to be like, oh, okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Which brings me to my next point of, you know, Dwight has really changed because, like you said, that statement alone would have made me go off on somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And so for Dwight not to get to that point, especially after what this guy has said, mm-hmm. proves that he really has changed. So a walker distracts the guy. Dwight, like a very smart character, because we've seen it before where nobody like does anything at an opportune moment, takes advantage of the opportunity and like takes over the guy. And then I guess leaves him in the truck to do some thinking.
Right?
Because they kept the characters
like time out.
The characters kept leaving and shutting the trailer door and then that would be the end of that storyline until we came back to it. I would have loved to have seen what they were doing.
Yeah.
outside.
Maybe right. It was Dwight being like, should I just kill him? No.
That's what I mean. Yeah. Like, maybe he was just thinking of, like, what do I do with this guy? Yeah. But right. I would have loved to have seen that process.
Me
you know
too.
What I mean?
Yeah. I feel like for Dwight, he definitely has to do a little thinking on that when it comes to something like that in that situation, because he also has to un-anger himself yeah. yes. how mm-hmm. he felt before. Mm-hmm. But I didn't think that it was going to end up how it did,
right.
but I'm happy that it did.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
and it's a good... It actually really does feel good to see this side of Dwight, because, like we've talked about so many times before, he was not very loved yeah. on The Walking mm-hmm. Dead, even toward the end when he was trying to be redeemed or mm-hmm. trying to redeem himself. But somehow, in the very few short episodes that he's been on Fear the Walking Dead, he's been able to do that somehow.
Yeah.
It's easier for me to forget, I think, personally, what he did on, now that you've taken him out of the context of The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, even on The Walking Dead, even at the end, I was like, he still gives me a bad taste.
Right.
Like,
that's
in
a
my
fair
mouth.
Point.
But, like, now I'm like, uh-huh. Sweet little Dwight.
I actually yeah. felt bad for him towards the end of The Walking Dead.
Did
yeah.
you?
Yeah, I felt really bad.
I
wasn't
conflicted.
Like in love with the guy, but I felt kind of bad for him. I was like, oh, this aww. Poor guy.
Anybody who does Daryl wrong is wrong. Always.
So did you guys think that Dwight was actually going to kill this man?
No.
No.
The Sherry thing worried me, but he didn't, so no. Yeah. I was worried.
And then we get a little bit more backstory from Dwight when he tells the guy why he carries around an unloaded gun.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, you know, he pretty much doesn't trust himself because, like we said throughout the entire episode, and like he's pointed out to Morgan, he's been on the other side of things.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows that he is one of those people that can just snap, like we all said we would.
Right.
And
mm-hmm.
the reason why he doesn't have a loaded gun is because that's what he's afraid of, is he's afraid of doing something and then regretting it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, he says someone gave him a second chance, meaning Rick,
right.
And he's going to do the same thing for this guy, and he lets him go. Do you guys agree with that decision?
No.
Why?
Because something's going to happen. Something bad's going to happen. And that's how it always is. When you have the opportunity to do something right and not have this person in your path,
mm-hmm.
then you do it. And since he let him go, something's gonna happen. I don't know what's gonna happen, but this isn't the last time we're gonna see him.
No, definitely not the last time we're gonna see him, but I don't know if it's gonna be a good thing, or because it could either be like he remembers that he let him go and then like does something in their favor later, or
true.
It could be the opposite and he comes back with a vengeance.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I just don't know which one it's gonna be.
But that's the risk that he's taking.
Yeah.
And my question to you guys is, do you think that it's worth the risk?
No.
This is the thing. Y'all have heard me say probably one too many times that every time, almost every time,
yeah.
not every time, but just about 90% of the time that something like this happens, meaning like they let somebody go or somebody gets away because somebody, you know, does something stupid, it always turns out bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
It always turns out with a main character dying or like the group just being blown up or something like that. So it's a big, big, big risk. But for some reason, I feel like in this particular scenario, it could turn out for the positive. Really,
mm-hmm.
just because of the guy's face at the end, he kind of had the, you know, we can say, oh, it's just a face, it's just a look, but he had the look of appreciation, I
yeah.
guess. And of
yeah.
course, he's alive, so obviously he's going to. But, I mean, we have to look at it in the sense of all of them at one point were a part of, you know, some big killing group. All of them killed people for no reason at some point. And they all turned around mm-hmm. because someone helped them out of that situation or talked them out of it. So maybe Dwight could be that person for
yeah.
this guy.
Yeah.
I
can see
crossed.
It going both ways. Like, the thing I'm looking at is you have kids involved now, and your group is that much bigger, so mm-hmm. you have to think about that group as well. You just can't think about the small group you had before.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
And so that's what I'm thinking.
Well, here's another level to it on the Dwight front. Do you think, because we already see Alicia going down this Morgan route of, you know, peace and positivity where, you know, she doesn't want to take a life and she really can't kill walkers anymore because it's taking a mental state, mental toll on her.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that they're going to do the same thing with Dwight where
no.
he doesn't want to kill anybody? I mean, I don't want
no.
them to.
Yeah.
We've got too many of them already. No, we need one person on the show to still have some, you know, grit to him.
Which
some
I think might be, I mean, that might be Strand, but I mean,
that's true.
At the same time,
we haven't
seen
him much.
I mean, is it just me, or do I feel like they're ruining these characters by making them soft?
This is the thing. Like, at some point, somebody's gonna come after them, whether it be Logan, whether it be somebody else. And it's like, maybe they don't have to be as psychotic as they were, mm-hmm. like just killing everybody all the time and whatever, like have some sort of code a la Dexter, I guess. Yeah. But like, you can't, once you get soft is when you start getting killed and when your people start to die.
Yep.
And like, that's what they used to say all the time. Like, we can't be soft. We can't be soft. Okay, maybe they don't need to be hard as a rock, but like, you know, we're not churning butter also over here.
But
like,
be smart though, yeah.
That's why I think this Logan thing is going to be what makes them have to address this. Yeah. It's definitely, it's going to come and it's going to be bad, and they're going to be like, oh, well, we're going to have to kill, or... Yeah.
And like I said, there's too many people. There's too many people in the group, you know? Yeah. You're going to have to get rid of some of the people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
we're going to have... Some people are going to die, for sure.
Yeah. We're going to have a group of kids that don't know how to fight. Well, no, the kids do know how to fight.
I mean, barely. And they're hidden, too, right? They're
Well, so they think, but I'm sure that's going to end badly, too.
Yeah. I mean, they're pretty much just in a caravan moving from place to place to place.
Okay.
This is a good comment in chat. Curtis7 says, the Clark survived for so long because they were strong and ruthless. They sometimes went too far, but that strength is what kept them alive.
Mm-hmm. Word.
I guess it's just finding that balance, but that's the hard part, is finding that balance. But I always maintain the fact that you have to stay on the side of ruthless before you stay on the side of soft, because soft can get you killed. Yeah. And ruthless, while you might feel bad about it, at least you're safe.
You'll be alive the next day to think
we would
and regret.
Really well in the zombie apocalypse. Yes.
I would.
This has trained us. Yes.
Yeah. Thank you, Walking Dead.
You would be my shield.
So we think.
Pretty much. Before we move on to the Morgan and Grace topic, I'm going to shoot over to Benny for a few words.
Yeah, so we just want to let you guys know how grateful we are for having you make us the ESPN of TV talk. And in order for us to grow even more, we need your help. So if you're on YouTube right now, go ahead, give us a thumbs up. If you're on iTunes, go ahead and give us a 5-star. Working at AfterBuzz means so much to us, and we just want to continue to learn and grow and continue to give you guys amazing content. So go ahead, leave us a comment and let us know how we're doing.
Yeah, you guys, the chat is on fire tonight. I'm going to shoot over to April for shoutouts in just a second. But we love interacting with you guys. We love that you guys are interacting with us. I'm going to shoot it over to April. Give us some shoutouts.
Yeah, I mean, we got so much good stuff. We got Fatal Shore, Don Juan, PKMN, DJK. You got to tell me more about that one. Lots of great comments. Earline Hall says, Strand is slick, but definitely not gritty with all the smooth talk.
Yeah, he is very smooth, but he's still ruthless.
He has recently done some ruthless. I mean, actually, no. Strand was the OG ruthless one back in the day, other than Daniel.
Yeah.
He was the one that didn't care about anybody.
Nope, except for himself.
Exactly.
So, and that's why Daniel didn't like him. But that's for another episode, you guys. they have put that to bed. Yeah. Now they're friends.
I guess.
Well, speaking of Daniel, can we address that all he wanted was a Cinnabon?
Oh, yes.
Favorite line. He's like, darn it.
It's like, you know, when you're just going somewhere and you really want something and you're looking forward to it and you have a feeling it's going to be there. So you're like, you're so stoked for it. Yeah. And then you get there and it's not there.
Well, what kind of mall doesn't have a Cinnabon?
Right.
Or a Sin City or whatever else.
Yeah. Do they have anything?
Nothing. Yeah. Probably an Annie Ann's Pretzels. At least
I would have taken that.
But then again, like, the place has been closed down forever. Like, it's not going to be any good, is it?
I mean, if you know, maybe he worked at one back in the day,
Expiration dates are just suggestions.
Yeah, exactly.
Until you're
just
growing
suggestions.
Up, yeah.
Yeah, everything's like a Twinkie, you guys. So let's get to the Morgan and Grace storyline, because this is, like I said, where I really started to enjoy the character of Morgan after all of these years. So essentially, they need to get to the generator. Mm-hmm. Because they want to use the machines and the health in the urgent care for Grace. Now, before we even get to that storyline, they also want to find Chuck, and he's got a red jacket on, and that's their ultimate reason for being there.
Right.
So they get this idea to divert the walkers in a specific direction with a little remote control car and a piece of metal making noise on the ground, which I thought was pretty clever. And Grace sees the red jacket and she goes after it without telling Morgan, which I still don't understand. Just bringing me back to,
really excited.
Yeah, I guess she just is one of those characters that's like, I'm going to do it by myself because I've been by myself this entire time.
Yeah.
It also brings me back to the fact that maybe she didn't want to put Morgan in danger, so she's going to do it by herself. But I'm like, girl.
But she said that it was for herself. So I thought by her saying that, it was meaning that not that she was trying to commit suicide, but kind of.
She does so at the same time. She takes some risks that it seems like maybe she just doesn't care.
Yeah, right. Well, because I think she knows that eventually she is going to die, so that fear factor is gone from her.
So she just takes things and she'll go because she's like... Fears out the window. Yeah. You know, I might already be dead.
She directly went into that speech, though, right after that, of saying, you know, this is no way to live. I wake up every day, you know, scared that this is going to be the last day or scared that I'm going to start to feel sick. So that's what I really thought she actually meant when she was like, I did it for him, but I also did it for me.
Yeah.
Ish. I don't know.
I mean, the plan obviously doesn't work.
Yeah.
What, because
she's alive.
She's alive, but I mean, them quietly following the walkers didn't work. So then the walkers turn on them. Obviously, they had to hole up in a health food store, which I thought was called, I guess, a GNC.
Yeah.
Right? GNC pay us for that. And so this is where their relationship starts to form a little bit deeper. Mm-hmm. And we get the backstory from Grace about, you know, her and horses. And, you know, when she was little, a horse jerked away from her. And ever since then, she's been afraid
of love.
Afraid to love, afraid to live, afraid to do anything because she overthinks everything. Mm-hmm. And then she asks Morgan about, you know, his son and about his family. And that obviously strikes a nerve.
Right.
And he pretty much tells her, you know, what my problem. And she wants to fix his problem just as much as he's trying to help her fix hers. Mm-hmm. And he says, you know, briefly, my problem's not going to get fixed in a day.
Right.
And I don't know if that was fair. I thought that was a very closed off statement, maybe because he doesn't want to let her in at this point. What did you guys think?
Well, I just thought that it was... That's the moment that kind of took me back to the Morgan that I love so much. Just hearing him, the way he talks about his son, I feel like it was a good change of pace for his character and a good way for the writers to reference some of the old stuff without kind of going too far.
Yeah.
Because I feel like he said everything that he was kind of going to be able to in that moment without... having, you know, a long, drawn-out conversation. But I feel like he said enough for his character. You know, he's always been somewhat of a closed-off character. But for me, I was completely, totally satisfied with the situation because I was like, this gives us more time for them to develop stuff later. We're not just, you know, like, giving them the whole shebang right away.
And it's still a wound that hurts when he talks about it. So I can understand why he isn't full frontal about it.
Yeah.
I also, it's like, this is the zombie apocalypse. Everybody's lost somebody.
Right.
So I think she knows that, obviously she can't fix that for you, but like, I think it's just like opening up those wounds to talk about is a start. So I was hoping he'd give a little, and it looks at the end he might.
Yeah.
He's
yeah.
open to it.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, yeah. I guess he's open to it.
So yeah.
They find the generator after this intense standoff in the dark.
Right.
That was pretty much brought on by Morgan. Which was a little confusing to me. I was like, why can't you just do it with the lights on? But okay.
He didn't want them to see him, but yeah, it didn't really make sense.
Yeah. Very Morgan-esque.
I guess they really didn't turn into, like, you know, raccoons or coyotes. They don't have night vision now.
Yeah.
So I guess that makes sense, but can't they smell him and hear him?
I mean, they can, but, like, a flashlight is much more obvious
than
the light just being off and whatever.
Fair. April will go to fight me to the death for Morgan.
Okay, I guess.
Fair. And then at the generator, we find out, again, more about Grace and how, you know, she had somebody at the plant, but she never let it happen. And in my mind, she was really just afraid to live.
Yeah.
And I feel like now she regrets it. Do you guys agree?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Definitely. And now it's happening when she knows that she's going to die.
Yeah.
And so I think she wants to live her life to her fullest, but, you know, it's kind of hard because she's living in a walker-infested world, so...
Yeah.
This is the thing. You know, obviously we don't have confirmation that she has radiation poisoning or cancer or whatever, but... you know, not to, I guess you're probably not supposed to say this about a female or anybody in general, but they're clearly, like, already trying to make her look rough. Like, just with the dark underneath the eyes and things like that. So they're already trying to make her look ill. But there's the part of me, you know, this whole time I've been like, oh, Morgan, why did you do this at the very end? But then I think this about her, too. It's almost like, it's not unfair because she is just trying to live her life and she's trying to correct the mistakes that she made before. So seeing her actually have these feelings made me, you know, like her character even more than I already did. But I'm like, if you really think you're going to die, how do you just like pull somebody into this also?
But
I mean, it's better to than to not, but I kind of get the situation, I guess.
So they get to the urgent care. they are diverted or interrupted by the group of walkers because the alarm goes off at the urgent care. They have this really close call on the escalator,
ooh,
which I thought was pretty cool because, mm-hmm, once again, it brought me back to the Dawn of the Dead movie.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed that. Grace reverses it, so they get out of that unscathed.
Brilliant.
I thought that, mm-hmm, was brilliant because they can't, yeah, turn it off, which I thought was really ironic because the power was off just like 10 minutes ago.
Right.
Now you can't turn off the escalator.
Yeah.
And then so they get back to the security office, and now because the power is on, they see Chuck on one of the security cameras and he's on the roof.
Mm-hmm.
So now they got to get to Chuck and he's alive.
Mm-hmm.
So once they get to Chuck, you know, I loved this moment because A, he's alive, which was really,
yeah,
nice. And he,
yeah,
tells them, you know, he wanted to get to the roof because he wanted to see the stars. And
adorable,
as cheesy as it was, it just puts in perspective, like, when you're dying, the little tiny things that you take for granted.
Right.
And
yeah,
I feel like this is what made Grace realize what she's been doing her entire life is just, mm-hmm, running from life, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And now that she's dying, like you said, Benny, now she wants to embrace it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Do you think it's too little too late, or do you think, hey, at least she found it now?
I hope not, because that's what I was, I guess, trying to say, is that, like, when Morgan leaves, we, mm-hmm, see him leave at the end, and he's so upset, and he's crying, and she's crying. I keep thinking, like, oh, is it because he knows that she's going to be this way, and why get into something if you know that this person is going to die?
Yeah.
Actually, no, I'll eat my own words right there. Anybody could die at any moment in,
yeah,
this scenario. So it doesn't seem like it would be,
no,
too little too late.
Like, Morgan could go before she does at this point. Anyone's,
exactly,
guess.
And you never know. Like, you don't have confirmation, and you just opened this mall with a huge clinic in it.
Yeah.
Like, antibiotics.
We'll get you some drugs.
Way.
Yeah.
But,
yeah,
like you said, it's not 100% sure yet that she's going to die. Mm-hmm. So she has no idea because she didn't even get herself checked out. So,
right,
you might as well just live your life to the fullest.
Which brings me to my next point. Were you guys surprised that she ultimately changed her mind and didn't actually want to know?
No, because I think with her doing that, I think if she did know, it would just always be in the back of her head. Like,
yeah,
I have this. This is how I'm going to feel for the rest of my life. Whereas she has no idea what's wrong with her, if anything,
mm-hmm,
is wrong,
yeah,
with her.
Yeah.
So she's just going to live her life.
Yeah.
She also could just caught a cold.
Yeah. Was, right, she going to be able to narrow that down in the clinic, too? Is she going to do some blood work real quick?
And like, ultrasound to see if she has cancer.
Okay,
but,
yeah,
yeah.
But, like, are you a clinic? Do you have a medical degree? Do you even know what you'd be looking at that point?
I think she might be a bioengineer, and I mean,
so maybe that helps, because if I went in there and I just looked at her, I'd be like, I'd have no clue. But I guess she's smarter than your average Joe.
I mean, I see, like, ultrasounds of babies, and I'm like,
I don't
where
even know
is
what
it?
That is. Yeah, but I guess
if you do an ultrasound, and like, it's because she was thinking of her lymph nodes. If you see a big lump,
and it's like,
yeah,
swollen,
chances are it's probably cancer.
Okay,
yeah,
so she'd
whatever.
Be like, yeah, I'm probably dying of this.
Yeah.
Okay. I was like, good for you. I just would be like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, instead of actually getting checked out, her and Morgan decide to ride the merry-go-round together, which is
adorable.
Another moment that I loved. And if you guys realize the symbolism she talked about in the health food store, that she was afraid to ride a horse, and now she's riding a horse.
And his.
Oh.
But in his, too, because he said, no one made me smile like the car and my son, and,
yeah,
then, and then he was smiling on the car.
He was for no reason.
Adorable.
I know. It was such
adorable.
A great. I mean, the writers did a really good job at budding this relationship.
Yeah.
But,
yeah,
I do feel like it's just. We see in the end Morgan driving away after he changes his mind. Like, we see him smiling and Daniel calls him out on it. And then outside, he pretty much catches himself and he tells Grace, you know, I need to go with Al.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was, once again, just a BS excuse. He was giving a lot of these in this episode,
mm-hmm,
where she needs backup. And we all know Al does not need backup.
Right.
Do you guys think that it's because he doesn't want to get involved with somebody who's dying? Or do you think it's because he's afraid to love in general?
I think it's a combination. He's afraid,
yeah,
to love and to lose. He's,
mm,
lost so much. But he also is, like, getting close to all of these people, which he didn't want to do anymore. So,
mm-hmm,
what's just one more step, you know?
Right.
In
I
my opinion.
Exactly,
yeah,
right. It's, and everyone in chat keeps saying how, you know, Morgan can only let people go a little bit at a time.
Mm-hmm.
So it is kind of both. It's definitely that he... I think that he is mainly just afraid to lose again. So therefore,
yeah,
obviously, it's not even necessarily about her having cancer or radiation or whatever. It's just the possibility that she could very easily die at any time, as,
yeah,
any of them could. Because basically a whole half of his storyline on the show was, I gotta run away from people that I care about because I can't not kill for them and whatever. So I think he's afraid to let that happen.
Right. You know, the closest people I think that he's lost in his life are his wife and his son. And I can see her becoming someone that close to him, and I don't think he wants to relive that again.
Yeah.
Hence why he wants to
Which, fair.
Right.
Yeah, that's completely fair. Yeah. Overall, I thought it was a great episode. Like I said, for me, liking Morgan at the end of this, I mean, I'm excited to see where his relationship goes with Grace. I'm excited to see this new change in Dwight. I mean, there's a lot of things that I'm looking forward to. Do you guys have any last thoughts on the episode before we get into our special segments?
This is a good episode.
Yeah.
Awesome. Let's get into our first special segment, our favorite kill of the episode segment, you guys. There is our wonderful soundbite. Thank you, Ryan. So, guys, tell me, what was your favorite kill of the episode?
Mine was the beginning when Dwight was going into the mall and he gets the axe and he's like pushing it or pulling it, and then
that was good.
I knew you were gonna say that one. I'm gonna say one of the walkers on the escalator thing.
Oh, that was a good one.
Yeah, that was good too.
That was pretty cool. Yeah.
So then I guess just to keep it different, not that this would be my favorite, but like the most symbolic would be them finding and burying our guy under the stars.
Yeah,
that was mine.
Sorry.
We
didn't like technically see the kill, but we see the burial.
Yes. And I completely agree with you. The mercy killing and the fact that, you know, just because you're going out of your way to kill somebody doesn't mean it's lost in translation. I mean, it definitely has some weight to it.
Right.
And I love that they did that. I mean, I feel bad for Chuck. I mean, I wanted to get to know the guy.
I know.
R.I.P. Chuck. Let us know who your favorite kill of the episode was, you guys. Let's move on to our next special segment, our How Not to Survive a Zombie Apocalypse segment.
There it is.
Do you guys have any moments that stand out at you?
I do.
Go ahead.
So they're talking about...
<That's ready.
laughs> She's got this.
I thought about this when it happened. They're all talking about this, the oil fields, and there could be this whole fight over gas. And then you have sweet little Grace putting gas into the car, and it's just overflowing out of the car. Like, she's using too much. I was like, you idiot. Why are you wasting this?
Waster.
That was it.
Waster.
I really thought that. I was like, oh, I can't wait to say this.
Okay. Mine's Dwight. Like, what if it wasn't just one guy that came up on you after you publicly announced your... What if, like, a whole gang of them did?
Yeah.
Then you never would have got back to Morgan. No one would have known there were... I just, you know,
be smarter. They could have been waiting in the trees.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Could have been a whole group.
Mine is just going down by yourself in the mall with, like, a single shotgun.
Yeah. Not even a shotgun, just a pistol.
Yeah, a pistol. Yeah. And thinking you're going to be like, oh, I'm okay.
Yeah.
I got this.
Yeah. I guess mine would have to be when they're holed up in the health food store, and they're clearly there's a lot of walkers on the other side, and there's just a glass door. At least use these shelves to block the door, or bar the door with something. I don't know. Find something. Instead of just waiting there for them to...
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Those are ours. Let us know yours, guys. We are running short on time, so I do want to get into some news and gossip. Benny, do we have any?
Yeah. So real quick, Norman Reedus, he shared this rare picture of him, of his bundle of joy.
Aww.
Yeah. And I think this is really cool because he doesn't really share his private life that much.
Yeah.
So it was really cool that he was able to share that to his many fans.
Yes.
Love it.
Little Daryl.
Love it.
We love Norman Reedus. I mean, he's not on Fear of the Walking Dead, but he is part of the Walking Dead universe, and we love him regardless. So that is our news and gossip for this episode. We don't have time to get into predictions right now, you guys, but we will give some later on. We've kind of teased some throughout the episode.
Yeah.
But let us know where our fans can find you guys.
Hey, guys, you can find me all over social media at Krista Flengy.
And y'all can find me everywhere at April with some hand.
What's up, guys? You can find me on all social media at Benny J. Adams.
And I'm Timothy Michael. You can find me everywhere at I Am Timothy Mike. We will be back next episode, episode 11, same time, same day. See you guys next week.
Woo! Bye.
Later.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.